chill. Guys, isn't it just great being in His presence? And yeah, just while we were singing that song, as I was preparing for today, I've been busy preparing about trusting God and trusting leadership. And then, yesterday morning I went for a cycle and, God just gave me something else in a moment. And I want to link it up. Even last week, Love More, he preached about love. And I want to continue a little bit on that. And I ended off of the service asking this, or praying this prayer, saying John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And what we said there is, "For God so loved," and then you put your name there. So, "For God so loved Anelda, that He gave His one and only Son." Or, "For God so loved George, for God so loved Tian, and I just believe the Lord wants to come and rapture our hearts. He wants to come and ravish our hearts. And I shared something quickly before we started the meeting last week as well, in Song of Solomon. And I'm actually stuck there. It's such a love story. And there's this one verse that says, "You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes." And this king, he was the most powerful man in the land that time. And, but this lady, his heart was hers. "With one glance, you completely captured me. You've taken my breath away." And this is the same picture of Jesus, our bridegroom, king, and his bride, which is us. And yesterday we attended a wedding, and it's so beautiful always, you know, that moment. We're all waiting for the bride to come, and then she comes around the corner, and the groom connects with her, and his eyes is fixed. It's in the looking. I believe there's a deeper in the looking. And I believe the Lord wants to, in a sense, take us by our face and say, "I love you." Look you in your eye and say, "I love you. I love you." That one look represents a real connection. When one heart meets the other heart. The power of eye contact with God. And so I clearly want to call Anelda to the front. She's my wife. You can see I'm married. She's got the other ring. So there's something that happens. There's something that happens when I look into her eyes. It's different. There's a love. There's, "You have everything of me." And as in the moment, as she's representing the bride, and I want to represent the bridegroom, I think sometimes we can turn around. I think sometimes the Lord is speaking to us, and He's saying, I love you. I'm here for you. My heart is for you. You're not alone. You have captured my heart. And then there's some of us, if you can just stand to the side, that's standing like this. And he's still saying, I love you. You have captured my heart. I'm in love with you. When you speak to me, you move my heart. But what I believe the Lord is calling us is this. It's the face to face. It's when we make eye contact and there's just this deeper sense. Talking about a love that is so hungry, so thirsty. It's where we meet one another in that passion, a divine passion between the Creator and the creation, between the Redeemer and the one that was redeemed, between the lost and the found. So even though this king was a king, his heart belonged to this woman. I would say this morning that he wants your gaze, he wants your affection, he wants your love. And we do that by spending time with him. This week, so there was like school holidays, so we've got a little daughter, Ruby. And she went to my mother for holiday. She's in Durbanville. So it was just me and Anelda. So we've got a very good relationship. We love one another. We're happy. We don't have issues. But still, we had a week alone. So of course, we go on date nights. And it was just so special. Like, it's like we talk a lot. But it was just a bit different because it was just the two of us. Ruby was not there. And we could look one another in the eye and just chat. And it was so nice. And I think we need this with the Lord. We need that eye contact. He loves us. He wants to be with us. But how are you positioning yourself? Are you standing like this? Maybe you're hearing his voice and saying, but there's not that deep sense of, oh, you're the lover of my soul. I love you so much. Till death do us part. You have stolen my heart. He is the King of glory. But he is not untouchable. He reigns over the heavens. Yet he is ravished by the one look from his bride. He doesn't just tolerate you, he desires you. He's not indifferent towards you. He is moved by you. When you speak to him, you move his heart. And as he speaks, he moves your heart. And this morning, I'm trusting that all of us will be able to turn our faces to him, to see that eye contact with him. And I'm trusting this for our quiet times, the times when we gather like this in worship. And I'm not going to say any much more. I actually want us to, for a moment, just by yourself, just close your eyes, turn your heart towards him. Because sometimes our love gets corrupted. It starts off being pure and all fired up and full of passion. And I've sometimes seen even in marriages where it's, we're celebrating our 23rd year anniversary. They love one another. But the spark maybe is not there. And I want to, in a sense, ask God to restore that being in love with Him in our midst. Because if we are in love with Him, you will overflow. Your conversations will drip with Him. Sometimes what happens when our love gets corrupted, we trade intimacy for activity, or presence for performance, or affection for ambition. I want to say He's after your heart this morning. He wants your heart. He doesn't want your house or your car or your work or your business. He wants your heart. He doesn't measure your love by how loud you sing, but how fully you're surrendered. Are you fully surrendered to the One, to the lover of your soul? To the lover of your soul, Jesus.